God bless the great state of Oklahoma. I am thrilled to be back with so many patriots who love America. Let me say to the men and women of Oklahoma, thank you for sending such a principled, freedom-loving, Constitution-defending warrior as Jim Bridenstine to defend you in the United States Congress. Let me tell you, Jim crawls over broken glass with a knife between his teeth. There's a reason that Jim and I both need food tasters in the members' dining room. Because when you stand up to the Washington bosses, they don't like it.
That's right.
But Jim remembers every day that he had to work for the Washington bosses. He works for the men and women of Oklahoma. And I gotta tell you, I think from Jim's perspective, when you've fought overseas and been shot at in the Middle East by bad guys trying to kill you, somehow Republican leadership doesn't look all that tough. And how about Glenn Beck? Isn't Glenn extraordinary? You know, every time I listen to Glenn, I learn something. Glenn is an educator. I love when he brings out his whiteboard. When he starts walking through the principles of the framers of our Constitution that built this country into the greatest country in the history of the world. When he starts walking through progressivism and how it is destroying both parties and destroying the country. You know what Ronald Reagan used to tell us? The scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help you." Really good definition of a progressive. Anyone who doesn't understand why those are the scariest words in the English language. I got to tell you, everyone gathered here, you're here because our country's in crisis. Because we're bankrupting our kids and grandkids. Because our constitutional rights are under assault each and every day. And because America has receded from leadership in the world and it has made the world a much more dangerous place. And yet, I'm here today with a word of hope and encouragement. All across Oklahoma, all across this country, people are waking up. This election is going to be about three key ideas: jobs, freedom, and security. Let's start with jobs. I want to talk to all the men and women of Oklahoma who are struggling right now under the Obama-Clinton stagnation. To all the single moms who are working 28, 29 hours a week, forced to be part-time because Obamacare kicks in at 30 hours a week. To all the working men and women with calluses on your hands who are finding yourself in a job where your wages are stagnant, they never seem to go up. To all the young people coming out of school with student loans up to your eyeballs and scared, am I going to get a job? What does the future hold for me? Well, let me tell you, if we keep doing what we're doing now, out of control spending and taxes and regulation, we're going to keep getting what we've got now. But there is a better way we can turn it around. Now, how do you turn it around? Well, it's very easy to talk about making America great again. You know, you can even print that on a baseball cap. But the question is, do you understand the principles, the values that made America great in the first place? When it comes to jobs, it ain't complicated. The heart of the economy is small business. You want to kill jobs? Do what we've done the last 7 years. Hammer small businesses. You want to turn around jobs? Lift off the jackboot of government from the backs of the necks of small businesses. If I'm elected president, we will repeal every word of Obamacare. We're going to pass common sense health care reform that makes health insurance personal and portable and affordable and keeps government from getting in between us and our doctors. And we are going to pass a simple flat tax. Every American can fill out his or her taxes on a postcard.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we should abolish the IRS. Yeah. You know, for far too many years, we've had deal makers in Washington who cut deal after deal after deal that enrich the big corporate interests and leave the working men and women in the dust.
They crawfish.
You know, there's no issue that illustrates that more powerfully than immigration. Now, immigration is an issue that impacts a lot of aspects. It impacts law enforcement and security and crime. It impacts national security as ISIS and radical Islamic terrorists are seeking to come into this country. But immigration is also a jobs issue. It's also an issue that goes straight to the heart of the working men and women. You know, it's very interesting. A couple of weeks ago, there was a story in the Wall Street Journal about Arizona. Remember, Arizona a few years ago passed some really tough laws on illegal immigration. Everyone in the media said, "You guys are being really mean to illegal immigrants." It reminded of the old Congressman Sonny Bono. He was asked, "What's your view on illegal immigration?" He said, "Well, it's illegal, isn't it?" But here's what the Wall Street Journal said. They said that once Arizona passed those laws, illegal immigrants fled the state. And as a result, the state ended up saving massive amounts of money. It spent hundreds of millions of dollars less on prisons, on hospitals, on education. That meant those hundreds of millions of dollars were available to spend on Arizona citizens. And you know, that article quoted the owner of a farm that grew peppers. And he was very unhappy about this change. He said, "Look, I don't have any more illegal immigrants that I can pay next to nothing to pick my peppers." I don't think his name was Peter Piper. And he was very unhappy. Well, he ended up having the government invent a new tool to pick the peppers. And then he went to the local community college and he hired American citizens to come operate the tool, and he had to pay them a little bit more to do it. Now, he didn't like that. He said, "Gosh, this is more expensive for me." And let me tell you what's happened in Arizona. Their unemployment's gone down. Carpenters, construction workers, Americans who work, all of them, their wages are going up. People are getting back to work. You want to understand what immigration is all about? That's what it's all about. And right now, both parties are failing when it comes to immigration. The Democrats support immigration because they think illegal immigrants are going to vote for it. You know, there's a new politically correct term for illegal immigrants. It's called undocumented Democrats. But the sad truth is far too many Republicans support illegal immigration too, because they're listening to Wall Street and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce that view it all as cheap labor. Now, in a Republican primary, everyone says they oppose illegal immigration. But there is a simple moment to judge the truth of those statements, which is 2013 was the battle, the time for choosing on illegal immigration, the battle over the Rubio Schumer amnesty bill in Congress. If you want to know what anyone really believes on illegal immigration, all you have to ask is, where were you in 2013? My friend Marco Rubio made the decision to stand with Barack Obama and Chuck Schumer and the Democrats and author the leading amnesty bill. I made the decision to stand side by side with conservatives like Jim Bridenstine and millions of Americans, and we defeated the Rubio Schumer amnesty bill. And where was Donald Trump? Well, at the exact moment Donald Trump was actually firing Dennis Rodman on Celebrity Apprentice. But worse than that, he was funding the Gang of Eight. There were 8 senators in the Gang of Eight, 4 Republicans, 4 Democrats. Donald Trump had funded 5 of the 8, given over $50,000 to the Gang of Eight. Let me tell you something, if you spent 4 decades funding open border Democrats, you don't get the campaign pretending now you want to secure the border. You know, the debate last week, a lot of people learned for the first time that Donald Trump had a $1 million court judgment against him for being part of an illegal conspiracy to hire illegal immigrants to build Trump Tower. But he said, gosh, that was a long time ago. You can't blame him for what he did a long time ago. All right, last week. Last week, the news broke that Mar-a-Lago, a fancy hotel down in Florida, brings in hundreds of foreign workers. And if they won't hire Americans. Now, Donald, I guess, was feeling a little heat from the debate. He went on a cable news station afterwards. He was asked about it. He said, well, listen, you got to understand, Americans aren't qualified. And you can't find Americans who want to be waiters and waitresses. Let me try a little test here. How many people here have ever worked as a waiter or waitress? Take a look at the hands. Donald says y'all don't exist. There are millions of Americans who have worked as waiters and waitresses, want to work as waiters and waitresses. My dad started washing dishes. And especially, how many folks would like to work as a waiter or waitress at some fancy Palm Beach hotel where they're tipping with $100 bills? And yet, out of roughly 300 Americans that applied for a job, you know how many Donald hired? 17. 17. But he brought in hundreds of foreign workers. Why? Because they're cheaper. You don't have to pay them as much. Because they can't quit. They can't go anywhere else. You can keep them under control. Now listen. Sadly, Donald is not unique in this. There are a lot of big business tycoons that abuse the immigration laws and end up sticking it to American workers, but you don't get to abuse the immigration laws and pretend to be a champion of working men and women. Here's what we're going to do if and when we win this election. We're going to build a wall, and I've got someone in mind to build it. We're going going to triple the border patrol. We're going to put in place e-verify and biometric exit entry system. We are going to end sanctuary city. We are going to end welfare benefits for people here in England. And let me tell you what that's going to do to the people of Oklahoma. You're going to see more and more jobs. You're going to see wages start going up as we stop illegal immigration. And then when we repeal Obamacare, when we pass a flat tax, when we abolish the IRS, you're going to see small businesses exploding. Millions of high-paying jobs. Young people coming out of school with 2, 3, 4, 5 jobs. That's what this election is about. More opportunity, more jobs, higher wages, a brighter future for the next generation. The second critical issue this race is about is freedom. You know, 2 weeks ago, we were all shocked by the passing of Justice Antonin Scalia. Justice Scalia was a lion of the law. A week ago, I attended Justice Scalia's funeral. He was someone I was privileged to know for 20 years. He was brilliant. He was a ferocious defender of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. Well said. And his passing has left the court in exquisite balance. His passing, I think, for the men and women of Oklahoma has underscored the stakes of this election. It is not one branch, but two branches of government that hang in the balance.
That's right. That's right.
We are one liberal justice away from a radical five-justice left-wing majority, the likes of which this country has never seen. We are one liberal justice away from the Supreme Court taking away your and my religious liberty and holding that the government can force you or me to violate our faith upon penalty of prison or fine. We are one liberal justice away from the Supreme Court ordering Ten Commandments monuments torn down all over the United States of America. We are one liberal justice away from the Supreme Court effectively erasing the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights. We are one liberal justice away from the Supreme Court ordering veterans' memorials with any religious symbol torn down all over this country. And we are one liberal justice away from the Supreme Court subjecting us to the authority of the World Court and the United Nations and international law and undermining U.S. sovereignty. Now, I'll tell you, last week at the debate, we had a real moment of clarity on this. Hugh Hewitt asked about religious liberty in the court. And I made clear that I've spent the last 2 decades of my life fighting to defend religious liberty.
Amen, Ted!
And Donald Trump jumped in. He said, Ted, you got to learn to compromise. You got to learn to get along with the Democrats. He said, Ted, I've known a lot more politicians than you have, and he's right. He supported more Democratic politicians. Heck, George Soros is looking at him going, man, that guy supports a lot of liberals. But Donald said, listen, you got to be prepared to compromise and cut a deal. Let me tell you this right now. Let me tell the people of Oklahoma this. I will not compromise away your religious liberty rights. I will not compromise away your Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. And I have no intention of doing what Donald Trump promised to do, which is sitting down with Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer and agreeing on a liberal to replace Justice Scalia on the Supreme Court and take away our rights.
If I am president, I give you my solemn word that every justice I appoint to the court will be a principled constitutionalist, faithful to the law, who will vigorously protect the Bill of Rights for your children and for mine. The third critical issue in this election is security. For 7 years, this administration has abandoned our friends and allies and has shown weakness and appeasement to our enemies. Now, once again, on the debate this week, we saw a striking moment of clarity. Donald Trump said he would remain neutral between Israel and the Palestinians. Now, look, nobody should be surprised. That is the same view that liberal New York Democrats like Hillary Clinton have had for a long time. But let me be absolutely clear. If I am president, I will not be neutral. America will stand unapologetically with the nation of Israel. One of the most dangerous things that has happened in the last 7 years is President Obama has weakened and undermined the United States military. We've seen our readiness degrade. We've seen morale in the military plummeting. We've seen a commander-in-chief who doesn't believe in the mission of our military and who undermines them at every step. Now, we've seen this situation before. In the 1970s, Jimmy Carter did the same thing. And Ronald Reagan came in, and what did he do? He passed tax reform and regulatory reform. He lifted the burdens on the private sector. Small businesses explode. Millions of new jobs. Trillions of dollars into the federal government. He rebuilt the military, and he bankrupted the Soviet Union and won the Cold War. I intend to do the exact same thing with radical Islamic terror. We will have a commander-in-chief who says to the world, we will defeat radical Islamic terror. We'll have a president willing to utter the words, radical Islamic terror. And our United States military will no longer be governed by political correctness. We are not going to be admitting refugees to the United States that may be infiltrated by ISIS terrorists. We are not going to be granting U.S. citizenship to people here illegally. We are not going to have a Pentagon promoting officers based on who can kiss up to some plush-bottom bureaucrat in the Pentagon. Rather, we're going to restore the war-fighting ethos to our military. No longer will the top priority be providing gluten-free MREs. And let me say this. As the father of two little girls, we are not going to be drafting our daughters and forcing them into combat on the front line. One of the most shameful things of the last 7 years has been this president sending our fighting men and women into combat with rules of engagement so strict that their arms are tied behind their back, that they're not able to defend themselves, to kill the enemies, and to keep themselves safe. That is wrong, it is immoral, and mark my words, in January 2017, it will end. America has always been reluctant to use military force. We are slow to anger. But if and when military force is required, we should use overwhelming force. Defeat the enemy and then get the heck out. Now some of y'all may be wondering, can this happen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we do it?
Yes.
You know, Scripture tells us there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
I think where we are today, it's very, very much like the late 1970s, like the Jimmy Carter administration.
That's right.
Same failed economic policies. Same feckless and naive foreign policies. In fact, the exact same countries, Russia and Iran, openly laughing at and mocking the President of the United States. Now, why is it that that analogy gives me so much hope and optimism? Because we remember how that story ended. All across this country, millions of men and women came together and became the Reagan Revolution. And it didn't come from Washington. Washington despised Ronald Reagan. It came from the American people, and it turned this country around. Why am I so optimistic? Because the same thing is happening again. All across Oklahoma, all across this country, people are waking up. Now, we are 2 days away from Super Tuesday, the most important day in this entire Republican primary. And let me tell you, Oklahoma is a battleground. We are right now neck and neck in the state of Oklahoma. Percent of Republican primary voters nationwide recognize Donald Trump is not the right candidate to go face-to-face with Hillary Clinton in November. That if we nominate Donald Trump, in all likelihood, Hillary wins, and if that happens, we lose this country. Oklahoma has an opportunity, has a voice for the nation. Because if you look at this race, there is only one campaign that has beaten and that can beat Donald Trump, and that is us. So I call upon every Oklahoman who doesn't believe Donald Trump is the right candidate for our party or our country to stand united. You know, folks at home, you may like another candidate in this race. There are some good people, some people I like and respect in this race. But the only campaign, the only candidate in a position to beat Trump on Super Tuesday is us. And so let's stand together. We have 48 hours. 48 hours, I want to ask every one of you to devote your time for the next 48 hours. Pick up the phone and call your friends. Pick up the phone and call your family. Pick up the phone and call your neighbors, your loved ones, your business partners, and say, this election matters. Come out and vote on Tuesday. Stand together. Stand together for Oklahoma. Stand together for the Constitution. Stand together for freedom. Stand together for the Judeo-Christian values that built this great nation. We have done it before, and together we will do it again. Thank you, and God bless you.